You're listening to episode 208 of Women Worldwide. How much social media is too much social media? And how do you know where you should join the conversation and if you're participating the right way? I've got a guest today who can help you. Stay tuned to learn more.
Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you so much for tuning into the show every single week. You are helping us to power up the voices of our guests and to share their incredible journeys and all of the work that they're doing. We really appreciate how you're helping to grow the Women Worldwide Network. All right, let's dive into today's show and my special guest, who has a unique story to share. She started out selling furniture for about 16 years and then made this big pivot to becoming an entrepreneur, a social media strategist, and consultant. Joining me on the show today is Dee Dee Watson. And what's really funny is I met Dee Dee on Twitter. So she is true to her brand. Dee Dee founded a social media marketing company called Turn It Social. She loves to work with personal brands as well as small to mid-sized companies, helping them build business with fresh, creative social media strategies. She is recognized as one of the top social media influencers in the world. So we're so happy to have her on the show. And she's also listed as an exclusive Forbes Top 50 Social Media Power Influencers. There's a lot that I could share about Dee Dee, but it's so much better when someone shares their story with you. So Dee Dee, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you, Deirdre. I'm so honored to be here with you today. I'm really excited.
Oh, well, I'm excited to chat with you. So a lot of, you know, us being together has been on Twitter, Dee Dee, and I see you on Instagram. So it's really great to be able to talk, and I'm going to pick your brain so all those Women Worldwide listeners can understand why social media and being strategic is important. So before we get to that, tell us a little bit about how you went from selling furniture to social media consultant, strategist, and Forbes Top 50 Social Media Power Influencer. Give us the backstory.
Well, I started selling furniture in Daytona Beach, and I was, after about 10 years, I guess about 10 years of selling furniture, I was really pretty burned out. So I started looking online for different opportunities, things to do that I could kind of pivot from working for someone to having my own business. And so it was a slow process. It seems like it happened very quickly, but it really took, I think, about, let's say, 5 years. And I started developing websites. That's a long story behind that. I won't take a lot of your time on that. But through trying to promote my websites, I realized that I had to do some creative advertising. And at the time, social media was really pretty new because this goes back, let's see, 47, 48, about 10, 11 years. Social media was really in its infancy. And so I started actually on MySpace promoting myself. And I then moved to Twitter, which was maybe a year or two old at the time. And it was just kind of crazy. People started talking to me on Twitter and asking me about my social media services. And at the time, I really had no interest in providing services for social media. But I started to realize that I was really enjoying it and loved chatting with people on Twitter. I spent a lot of time on Twitter. I worked full time, and in the mornings and at night, I was on Twitter. And it's really through Twitter that I began my social media career.
Well, it's no surprise we met on Twitter. What's really interesting about this, Dee Dee, I mean, it's fascinating that you went from the sales job, and you do hear a lot about burnout when you're in that kind of a position, but you were on social media, not even intending to fulfill a need, and people came to you asking for help. That's the best kind of way to grow and to build your business. From that point, how long did it take to officially say, I've got a company, I am an entrepreneur? How long was that?
I would say probably about 2 to 3 years. I was working, doing small social media services, but to where I really started scaling it, I'd say it was about 3 years. So it took a while. It didn't happen overnight.
And did you ever, as you were going through those steps to launch your company and build it up and fulfill this, you know, social media strategy need, were you nervous? Did you ever, did you always know you were on the right path because your gut was telling you? How are you feeling?
Well, I was really passionate about it. And what happened was, it's kind of a funny story now. It wasn't at the time. Someone hired me full time, not making a ton of money, but enough where I could leave my job and pay my bills. So I quit my job. And a week after I started working with this person, she had a radio show in New York City. She decided to discontinue her radio show. Fortunately, I had a little money saved. And I always tell people, if you're going to venture out into the world of entrepreneurship, you really need to have a plan and you need to have some money saved. And so I really had nothing when I stopped working with this lady. I had no one.
That's scary.
And so it just, for whatever, somebody was looking out for me. Within a month or two, I started getting clients. And the rest is, you know, what you see now. It just kind of happened very quickly after that.
That's a really tough situation to be in, where you leave maybe a secure position. Like you said, you go to this radio show and then it isn't. And all of a sudden you have to kick it into high gear, or the universe aligns and opportunities happen. You know, one, they say one door closes, another opens. But Dee Dee, what I'm hearing and what I'm feeling is you shared that, was that you really, you must have been stepping out of your comfort zone. Is that the daily cadence of the entrepreneur?
Well, you have to. And for me, it's a little bit more difficult because I'm very much an introvert. I think we talked about that before. And so I think a lot of people in social media are a little bit more social than I am. I preferred being behind the computer. So I'm really stepping out now because I'm promoting my own brand more instead of other people's brands. Although I still work with clients and I also do consulting, I'm promoting myself more now. So that's been a huge step for me.
Well, you do it really well. I think you are a role model and an example of how to be fresh and creative and authentic on social media. So, you know, what you see from a person online through their social channels should be exactly the same at any touch point, whether you're in person. And I think that really comes through for you, Dee Dee, at least in my experience. So I'm glad you're stepping out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, it's challenging still doing videos and starting to advertise now and promote my brand. It's not easy for anyone. I think everyone struggles with that. It's much easier to talk about other people and promote other people. But when you're really promoting yourself, you've got to be very introspective. And it's very hard to, I think, to really do that and not be hypercritical, which is not good either.
Let's talk about that. Hypercritical. I mean, this is a really good point that you're making. You can't get a video out if you're going to be hypercritical. And you know, Dee Dee, that everything is real time and we are trying to, you're going to put out there what's happening and what's relevant. So being hypercritical could hold you back for days, could hold you back for weeks, and then your window of opportunity isn't there anymore. So how do you not be hypercritical?
I don't know if I'm the one to really, I'm working on it. I think you just have to, at some point, you know, I'll do edit after edit, especially when I was creating my courses. And at some point you've just got to say, okay, this is good enough. And I also have other people I reach out to and my wonderful partner in life. And I'll also share with him what I'm doing. He's a very good judge of, I think, my work. I trust him completely.
And so
I will reach out to other people and ask them, does this look okay? Do I sound okay? because I never feel that I do the job that I really want to. I never feel that it's the way I want it to turn out. So I really have to at some point say, okay, just release that stress I have and that anxiety about my, I'm kind of a perfectionist, and just say, okay, this is fine. It's going to work. Cause I think other people are not going to, in fact, I know other people are not going to judge you the way you judge yourself.
Right. They don't even notice. I do a lot of training with executives, with their speaking, with media interviews. And what's interesting is that what you plan, it's okay that if it doesn't come out exactly the way that you had planned it, because nobody knows. When you're on stage and you're presenting something, if you miss a small piece, no one knows. So you can't punish yourself, but it's going to come out anyway. And I think that what you shared about having people around you, I do the same thing. I mean, there's endless times I will turn to my daughter, Megan, and be like, what do you think of this video? Or I was going to share. I rely on my husband as well. So that's a really, it's great to have people that you can turn to. So that's important. I would love to know, and I'm sure the listeners want to know as well, what do you think makes a successful entrepreneur?
Oh, gosh. I think it's the ability to have structure and in your business and to be able to, some people are not disciplined. And if you're not disciplined, I think it's very difficult. We all struggle with that somewhat, but I think that you have to be able to get up in the morning. You have to not get distracted by television or the telephone or your text messages.
Or social media.
And so, social media, which is hard in my case.
Right.
So there's so many things that go into it. One thing that people, well, for me, I thought, well, I would have a little more time as an entrepreneur once I got my business going. But I think it's understanding that you are probably going to work a lot, sometimes more than when you are working for someone, when you have what they call a real job. So there's so many things that go into being a successful entrepreneur. And I think really it's a subjective thing too. For me, it's about providing the services for my clients that they're expecting to being dedicated to what I'm doing and to being passionate about it. I think if you're not passionate about what you're doing, then you're not going to be successful.
Well, everything that you said, from serving to passion to structure and discipline, this has to be a part of the entrepreneur's world. Absolutely. There is this interesting flexibility that I find, but that doesn't mean that I'm not working. The flexibility, I think, comes where you might be able to carve out a piece of your day to do something else other than your business, but you might be working at night until 11 o'clock. I feel like you can design your day in a sense, and that makes for a healthier, I don't want to use the word balance because I don't really know if there is what the work-life balance is as an entrepreneur. There's more of this blend. But I agree with you on your successful points as an entrepreneur. Is there anything that you've learned about yourself through this process that maybe you didn't realize before earlier in your career?
I think that I've learned that I can actually be a businesswoman because I never had the confidence when I was actually working for someone. I never thought that I could accomplish what I have so far. So it's very empowering. And being someone that is more of an introvert and is more on the shy side, it's really empowered me to be able to step outside of my comfort zone more than I could have when I was actually working for someone else.
That's great. I mean, I know that there's a lot of women out there who can truly appreciate that. And, you know, being an introvert, I think that you're also inspiring many people to know that, you know, it's okay. It's good to be an introvert. It doesn't mean that you can't communicate. It doesn't mean that you're not creative. It doesn't mean that it would limit you in any way, shape, or form. So I'm glad to hear you say that you've come out to realize your success as a businesswoman, and that how you're using maybe being an introvert as a way to excel in a sense. Because I do think being reflective and taking time to yourself actually creates a better social environment around us. How do you feel about that?
I agree.
Awesome. So what is it about being a social media consultant that gets you excited? What makes you really happy?
I love mentoring people. And even though I've enjoyed providing services and I still provide services for clients, I am really enjoying doing more consulting and mentoring people because I love seeing people succeed and helping people. And that's where I get the biggest satisfaction is seeing the results. And when you're actually providing services, many times it takes, you know, it's a longer process. But when you're consulting people, you see almost daily when I'm consulting people, I can see the changes that they've made and how it's helping them. And that's where I really get the most satisfaction. I love it.
Yeah. And, you know, when it comes to seeing changes daily, we also live in a world that, you know, with younger generations who are so used to instantaneous, the ability to go online and get anything, that must feed a need that's out there, right? I don't know. I feel like growing up in communications years and years and years ago, you could not see the daily changes and you would not be able to report on them. And that was much tougher for the executives that were hiring you to be able to buy in a little bit more and understand truly your value. So with daily changes, that's seeing value every day.
Exactly.
So if you, you know, you've talked about your transition, feeling like you could be a businesswoman. You didn't realize that before. And you're having success in your career as an entrepreneur. And you mentioned developing courses. What are maybe some challenges now that you might want to share? And how do you tackle challenges?
I would say even now it's scaling because now I'm going more into the consulting versus the actual client services. And so when you change your business model, it does take time to scale. So I think that's my biggest challenge right now, creating ads. Do you want to talk about challenges? Yeah. Really, my biggest one right now is Facebook ads. I don't know if you've seen some of my posts over the past few days, but Facebook is making it very challenging for small and mid-sized marketers to advertise and get ads approved. I'm actually working with a company and we're having trouble getting my ads approved. So, and I'm talking about very nice ads. There's nothing controversial about them. But Facebook, unless you're spending a lot of money with Facebook, it's becoming difficult to actually advertise.
That's really tough because, you know, so many times small businesses were leaning on the fact that social media levels the playing field and that being able to advertise and to tap into the vast, the many people that Facebook reaches to make it tougher. That's really hard. Is there anything, I know Facebook advertising is really good and it works when you put your money into it? Are there other places, perhaps, that small businesses, your clients, would be able to advertise that would be more cost effective, that would still get the same results?
Well, I think that utilizing Twitter to make connections, I'm not talking about paying for ads, but just actually, you know, developing a community, and I'm sure you know you've done very well with Twitter as well, connecting with people. That's where I got most of my clients actually at the beginning. And Instagram, I think Twitter and Instagram have the biggest reach right now. Facebook, it's becoming difficult unless you advertise, but you can still do free advertising just by building communities on Twitter and Instagram. Instagram is wonderful for brands. And I'm starting to get quite a bit of clients from Instagram, just from organic post.
Oh, wow. That is great to hear. I mean, I can certainly appreciate, as a small business, and there's lots of small business owners out there listening, that the ability to be on Instagram and to have that tremendous reach and to create connections and impact that lead to possible clients, and not have to worry about the big spend on Facebook. Well, that's a whole new door that's opened. Dee Dee, I'm going to ask you to hold your thoughts just for a moment. We're going to take a super quick break to give some love to our sponsor, Pure Performance Communications. And when we get back, we're going to dive back into the discussion with Dee Dee and talk more about social media and her work.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Yesterday's techniques won't work. Today, you have an opportunity to expand your communications approach with fresh, creative, and effective ways to power up your brand voice through new channels and to interact with more value and meaning. Pure Performance Communications will work with you to move audiences from awareness to action and impact. You'll foster greater engagement and forge stronger relationships along the way. Let us help you uncover what's holding you back and help you to carve out a marketing PR roadmap to success. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. That's pureperformancecom with two M's.com. Now back to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show. I've been chatting with Dee Dee Watson about her business and her work as a social media consultant and strategist. So let's dive back into our discussion. Okay, Dee Dee, we were certainly going over your pivot from what you were doing before in sales to being an entrepreneur, some of the challenges, you know, as a business owner. You mentioned scaling. So let's talk a little bit, because what you do is all about technology. Were you always very savvy with technology? Did it come naturally before social media?
Oh, absolutely not. And I'm not a millennial, so I didn't grow up with computers and technology as it exists today. So I was actually very intimidated by computers. And when I started selling furniture, for example, I was 36 years old. I had never worked on a computer. So it was extremely intimidating for me to actually have to learn how to use a computer, just basic things. So it's been a slow evolution. Today, I'm still not extremely tech savvy. And even though I used to build websites, most of what I did, I had to sub out. So I didn't do most of the actual hands-on. So I can't say I'm really tech savvy. So that I do delegate to other people when I create.
But it's good to delegate. It's good to know what you feel really good about doing and what you excel at versus what you need to have somebody else do. That's also part of being an entrepreneur.
Sure. And that's been a hard thing for me to do, to delegate, but I'm getting much better at releasing the anxiety about letting people do, even at non-tech jobs. Just having people work with me on projects used to make me very nervous because I always wanted to have my hands in it. But I'm learning slowly to trust people a little more and just kind of release that anxiety of feeling like I have to do everything myself.
Yeah, no, I think that's really important, because Also, there is so much to do on the technical side, the details of all these platforms and, you know, from the monitoring, the listening, to the tracking, to the creative that you have to do. Doing everything, I mean, my gosh, you wouldn't be able to sleep, right? I'm sure you value your sleep.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When you were, you know, you said 36, selling furniture, having, you know, not being on a computer. When you first started to get on the computer, when you first started learning and you advanced in technology, did you, I mean, to this day, I still go to YouTube. If you want to learn something, you can go to YouTube and there's a video on it. You have to make sure, of course, it's a credible, good source that's teaching you. But do you learn visually through hearing or just putting your hands on it and doing it? What kind of learner are you?
Both. I can't just hear something and retain it and be able to, and I think a lot of people are like that, and be able to absorb and be able to, I don't have that type of memory. So I have to visually, I have to see it and hear it. And then I'll pause. And then I'll, you know, if I'm doing a how-to video, and then I'll, you know, try to correct, especially if it's something that I'm doing online, try to correct it. And then I'll go back and listen to a little bit more. I can't just listen to a video and then try to absorb it. I have to do it little by little.
Little by little. So I'm going to pivot a little bit personally to how you feel. I mean, there's social media for business. And I know we talked about how you work with businesses and you also promote yourself and the work that you're doing. But personally, as Dee Dee Watson, the individual, how do you feel about social media? And do you ever just get to the point where you're like, oh my gosh, if I don't unplug my, you know, mine's going to explode?
Oh, absolutely. Because I start early in the morning. At 6 a.m, I'm in bed on my phone, checking Instagram, responding on Instagram, creating posts on Instagram. Sometimes I'm there, Deirdre, 2 hours. I'm working, but I'm in bed. And all of a sudden I realize this is ridiculous. I have to get out of bed, start my day. And even though I'm working, it's not healthy. So
no, is that the first thing that you do?
Yes.
At 6 a.m. is pull your phone.
Yes.
Wow.
And that's the last thing I do at night. Well, the last couple of months I've tried to change course a little, and I'm now reading before I go to sleep. But that used to be the last thing, was my phone, and it wasn't healthy. So I realized that, and on the weekends, I'm on my phone quite a bit too, on Instagram and Twitter. So
sure.
Yeah, it's too much. And I think sometimes, you know, when I'm reflecting, I realize that it's not only not healthy, but am I really being productive? If I'm just constantly checking my phone and checking my phone, am I being productive, or is this just kind of an addiction that we have that, you know, it's not necessary?
Indeed, are you being present in your interactions? Let's say on a weekend and you're on your phone and there's things going on around your world and people you love. How present are you if your phone is right there and you're just a touch away from Instagram?
Well, I would say that that is a problem. And sometimes when I'm at dinner or having a nice dinner, I pull the phone out and I know I shouldn't do that. And I know that it's not respectful. It's rude. So I'm trying to change that. If I go out for dinner, I try to leave it in the car, my phone, or sometimes I leave it at home, which is a big stretch for me to actually leave it at home.
Leave it at home. Yeah. I mean, I've been trying to carve out time. So there's certain times that I check emails now. It used to be grab my phone and any minute be checking for emails. Always being on Twitter to make sure, oh my gosh, clients, students, whoever needed something. But now it's more specific times. And I think even people know when I'm on Twitter and they ask questions around times that I show up. Could you see yourself doing that Or is it too hard?
Yeah. I mean, I try now. I'm trying not to check my email 15, 20 times a day. But I have certain times that I'm on social media, and I'm trying to restrict them a little bit so that I'm not in and out all day long, because I feel like you're not productive that way. So I'm trying
to... Yeah, multitasking is not a good thing, I hear. Some of those studies that are coming out saying when you're multitasking, you're actually doing a disservice to yourself.
That's true. It really is true.
Right. So what about, let's get into some tips, because here you are. We have this incredible social media consultant and strategist. Could you give listeners some tips about Instagram, maybe some tips about Twitter?
Sure, absolutely. I think every platform's different. And one thing that I see is I see people that are sending automated tweets that go out, you know, and Facebook messages, Facebook posts that they go out to Twitter and Facebook, and sometimes they just don't look organic or natural. So I think that every platform is different, and you have to strategize when you're actually creating content for a specific platform. Instagram is much more visual, even though I think Twitter is too. People like to see images, and Facebook, but Instagram is extremely visual. And I think that if you have a business, especially, which most of us that are actually, a lot of us that are on Instagram today are actually trying to promote either ourselves or products or services, that you have to really be strategic when you're posting, in that you have to maybe not post every single personal photo that you would put on Facebook, but have a business account for Facebook and Instagram, and really start micro-targeting. So if you want to maximize your post and not spend all day long on Instagram, really micro-target and think about what is going to reach your target audience, how they're going to perceive it, to be a little more personal in your postings, are some, I think, tips that will really help people. Use hashtags. That's very important. But I think if you have
for both Twitter and Instagram,
exactly. Instagram, you can post up to 30 hashtags, and I recommend that. Just make sure they're targeted hashtags. And this year, especially, video is going to be very important, especially for marketers to use video in their marketing strategy. But I could go on and on with tips.
So I want to follow up with some questions. So you said post up to 30 hashtags on Instagram, but they have to be relevant. How does somebody, so for all you listeners out there who are posting to Instagram, and maybe you're not quite using that number of hashtags, Didi, how can our listeners find the right hashtags and know that they're good hashtags for conversations that make sense, that they can add to their posts?
Well, you can go to the Explore page and you type in a hashtag that is related to your business or to your interest or what, or your target audience. And then when you type it in under tags on the Explore page, you're going to see related tags. And you can go in and you can very quickly curate hashtags from related tags. Then you want to vet the hashtags and make sure that they're not too popular or that they're not visible at all. So I always tell people, make sure your hashtags are around anywhere from around 5,000 posts to around 500,000, meaning that that particular hashtag has been used between 500,000 or between 5,000 and 500,000 times. Unless you have a lot of followers and a lot of engagement, if you're selecting hashtags that are extremely popular and have millions of posts attached to them, you're really not going to get any visibility, because anything you post, that visibility is going to be gone in a flash. So I tell people to really vet their hashtags, make sure they're related to their brand or their business or their audience, target audience, and make sure that you're using the 30 hashtags, because it will benefit you and it will really increase your reach and your visibility.
And engagement too.
Exactly.
Right? People will like, they'll comment.
Exactly. Because what you're looking for is you're looking for new people to see your content. So that's what you're looking for with hashtags. The other thing that I want to caution people is to not use the same hashtags in every post. You want to rotate them. So if you look
at... Why is that?
Because there's the possibility of being shadow banned. And there are some people say that it doesn't exist, but I believe it does. It's happened to me. I used to use the same hashtags. And eventually, I just started losing engagement. And it just dropped off drastically. So I was told just delete all your hashtags from all of your posts, and it will reset in a few days. And that's what happened. So what I do now is I have probably 150, 200 hashtags. I will add hashtags to a post. Then the next day, I'll add a different set of hashtags. And after 3 or 4 days, I will just wipe them out and start over so that you don't run that risk of being shadow banned.
So you go back into the post where the edit function and you just kind of wipe out all those hashtags?
I do. You can add them either in the post or you can add them in the comment area. I prefer to add them in the post. I add 5 dots so that, you know, my hashtags aren't jumbled up with my actual caption. And then I just post them with the hashtags in the caption area. If you add them into the comment area and you make a mistake, or you want to keep some of them on there, but you don't want to keep them all, you've got to start all over again because you can't edit your comment, I believe.
Right. So, is that something that Instagram, do you think, will ever change, giving us the ability to edit comments, or they do that for a reason that you can't?
I don't know.
Hard question. I love it. You know, I just, I find it interesting that you can't edit comments. You mentioned video being very important. Are you talking about people doing more Instagram live, doing videos for their stories, maybe IGTV? What do you think is important?
Well, I think it's all important. I think that we really have to get more comfortable with doing video. IGTV is a little bit painful right now. You're not getting the visibility probably that you'd like. However, I would say that I've done several IGTV videos, and I've found that most of the people that are viewing my videos are not currently following me, which is very strange. You can use hashtags and captions as well in your IGTV videos, but you'll find that, or I find that the majority of people that view my videos are not following me. So that's a way to get new people viewing your content and hopefully
sure,
you know, then following you and engaging and becoming part of your community. The videos that I do on my feed, a couple of them have done very well and a couple of them have not done as well as I wanted. Some types of video do extremely well. For example, I have a client when we do exercise videos, I have several clients that are in fitness. They tend to do extremely well. Some people that do motivational videos, they do amazingly well. So it really depends on the content, I think, as to, you know, how successful they're going to be. And I think doing stories, when you're creating a video, creating a nice story behind it tends to help too. Videos and stories do well. I create crazy videos and put them in my stories. And they tend to do very well, which it's a lot of fun.
I hope everybody checks them out. Do you have any, I don't know, favorite resources, platforms, apps that you're using to help you with what you're doing or even personally that you want to share?
For stories, which I think are really important, there's over 500,000 people that are actually engaging in stories daily. So, I said 500 million people
wow,
daily in stories. So that's huge. I use InShot to create longer videos and to add stickers to my story.
Ah.
I love using VidStitch. If I'm trying to add multiple images or images and video, which is a lot of fun to add into my stories, PicPostPlay is great. And I love story art. If you want to create great visuals in your stories, story art is amazing. You can do video and images. You can do all video, or You can do just pictures, but you can create some really beautiful stories. And they have amazing templates so that if you want to really have that branded look, you can do that with story art.
Oh, these sound awesome. Thank you for sharing. Maybe just to round out this show, Dee Dee, would you be able to offer some advice to our listeners about getting out there professionally on social media? What do you want to tell them?
Well, I think it's all about building an engaged community. And I think that's why I was so successful on Twitter, is because it is time consuming. And I'm not going to lie, you really have to spend time, especially at the beginning, nurturing your audience and making connections and friends through social media. But I think if you are authentic, if you are, you show that you care, people see that. And if you're willing to share other people's content and really spend some time strategizing the visuals, you can be very successful on social media. It does take time. But if you want to build a community, you have to work at it.
Great advice. That's right. You know, like any relationship, you have to work at it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's all about creating those relationships and friendships. And that's really what helped me on Twitter. That's, if you want to connect with people, I think it's an amazing platform.
I do too. I agree with you 100%. Last question. Super easy. Where can people find out more about you and your work?
At ddwatson.com. All my resources are there. My courses are there. Everything about how to reach me and what I do is on ddwatson.com.
Fantastic. I hope all of you listeners go to ddwatson.com and check out Dee Dee and everything that she has to offer. Dee Dee, thank you so much for sharing your journey. It was super interesting, and for giving us really good tips for Instagram and Twitter and making us feel more comfortable about social media.
Thank you so much.
So we really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Deirdre. I'm such a huge fan of yours, and I'm so happy to have had the opportunity to be here today.
Oh, thank you. It was great having you on the show. And I want to thank all of the listeners for tuning into Women Worldwide, for sharing the stories of our guests, for really amplifying the voices, their work that they're doing, and for growing the Women Worldwide Network. And we just appreciate you all so much. Thanks for the feedback. Keep it coming, whether it's rating us on iTunes, how you shout out on Twitter and Facebook. We love it. Love to hear from you. Okay, friends, till our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.